Tales of Ammonia, Book 3, The Return of the Silver Dragon, by J.F. Wren. Translated by Neil Betteridge. Read by Jez Jameson. Prologue. 1675. She was calm and collected and did not get unnecessarily spooked. The newly ordained priest had christened her Selma. The marketplace adjacent to the somewhat ramshackle bridge was bustling with activity. Laurentius Johannes, real name Lars Johansson, looked on in astonishment as a boy tried to catch some stray piglets. The sow squealed after her litter and the young swineherd shouted and cursed pitiably. On the other side of the bridge, the priest could just make out a meadow and a scattering of cottages. The meadow, one of his fellow travellers informed him, was called Kappelhagen. A shabby-looking man walked towards Lars, but froze mid-step when he noticed his white clerical collar. Lars smiled and spurred on his horse. He had nothing to declare to the tollkeeper and was merely on his way to the church. Laurentius Johannes, who was from Örebro, had decided to become chaplain for His Majesty the King's army, which was now mustering down in Skåne. The young priest had hoped to accompany them to the now southern Swedish province of Skåne, but had instead been dispatched as a temporary replacement for the current pastor, who had recently suffered a stroke.
"I hope to God that the good man lives yet," thought Lars, as he walked his horse over the rickety bridge.
Death was always present, no more than a breath away. He shook his head slowly to rid his mind of such gloomy musings. Around him, hawkers selling everything from live hens to sumptuously woven fabrics called out their wares in the maelstrom of a market. The priest's gaze fell upon a queer figure standing a little to one side by a tent painted with all manner of cryptic devices. As he rode closer, he saw that it was a woman with raven hair and gold rings hanging from her ears. Over her eyes she wore something that at first glance looked like a blindfold, but on closer inspection Laurentius found that the cloth was diaphanous, more like a veil. Just as he began to wonder what the good of a blindfold was, he heard a whisper.
"Good sir, I see your fate. Dismount from your horse, my dear black gown, and let me foretell your future."
Her voice was strangely soporific. The newly ordained priest brought Selma to a halt and looked around him, baffled as to whom she was addressing, but noticing no other in their proximity, assumed that he was whom she meant. He climbed cautiously out of his saddle and approached the woman, and as he did so she thrust out her right arm and grasped his wrist. Lars backed away and tried to free himself, but she just tightened her grip. He gave up his attempt to extricate himself and heard a low, manic whisper. With closed eyes he tried to concentrate on the sound and could eventually make out the odd word. Bridge. Crossing. Portal. Then everything was gone, and a dizziness took its place, as if he were on a boat in a troubled sea. Opening his eyes again, he saw that he was back on his trusty mount. He blinked to reaccustom himself to the light. Had it all been a dream? When he looked about him, there was no trace of the veiled woman or her peculiar tent to be seen. A sensation gnawed at his insides. There was something he had to do, something of the utmost importance. A year later, work began on the new bridge over Hovan. A handsome, solid, stone bridge on high arches it would be. Laurentius Johannes was often out inspecting its progress, occasionally aware of the slightly uneasy feeling that this was his ultimate calling in life, to oversee the construction of the Hover Bridge. What the young priest did not know was that the veiled stranger who had grabbed his arm was also keeping an eye on the bridge's completion. At last, the portal would be ready. The ancient woman sighed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?